X-Files on Mixstream Radio from Mixposure.com. This fine music is provided for us by David C. Deal. This tune is called Jime. You'll hear it again at the end of the show, and David will explain his inspiration for this tune while the tune is playing. I did that so I could get the tune in. I just could not leave this out. It was too cool. And the only place there was for it was over the top of the tune. So here we go. The Mix Files, David C. Deal, premiering this interview on Saturday Night Rocks with EBS and Friends. EBS is Maurice. Friends would be Dolce, Daddy Rabbit, Devo Dell, and me, Cooter, host of The Mix Files. Enjoy yourself. With Eyes of an Angel, you and Max Sanders, how did that song come to be? Who had the idea initially for the song and then asked the other one? How did that happen?
That was my song. I really wrote it totally and had it all recorded, including my vocals. And it was pretty clear those vocals weren't going to work for that kind of song. So I asked Mac, and he agreed to it. And then he took my very simple vocals. Well, you know Mac. I mean, he took my very simple vocals and made those incredible harmonies. Just a wonderful surprise when he sent them back. That was all my song. I wrote that for my granddaughter.
Oh, cool.
She was about 4 years old at the time, or 3 years old, and my first grandkid, and just to me, she was an angel, still is.
Did it happen quickly, or did you consciously think, you know, I want to write a song for my granddaughter, or did this song just come to you, and you're saying, oh, this is for my granddaughter? Does that question make any sense?
Yeah, it does. This is a song that the music drove the song, not the lyrics. This is one of those progressive rock kind of songs where I switched genres about 10 times during the song. Mm-hmm. I think this
you are flexible.
The first part is pretty much classical, maybe music classical, and then I go into a little jazz piece and then a little pop piece, and I don't know. Then I go into some kind of a new age kind of thing. And then I do it's like a theme from Arabian Nights or something, Sherazade or something. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of piece I struggle with for a long time. I enjoy those kind of pieces. I enjoy putting them together, and I probably work for months on that. When it came to the lyrics, I usually do that last.
Uh-huh.
And it just hit me. You know, I had written Help Me Fly for my daughter. And it just hit me, hey, why not do one for my granddaughter? And lyrics pretty much for me, once I decide to do them, once I'm inspired, the lyrics just flow. And I just try to write them down as fast as they come. Like I said, I don't think, you know, it's one of those conduit things is... Cat Dieter might say it's comes from somewhere else.
Thank you.
Is there a story behind Blood Money? How did you and Ked get together on that one as well?
Yeah, there's kind of a story. I live in Northwest Ohio, and we're really in auto. We're close enough to Detroit, a couple hours from Detroit, that we're largely auto factory, and we even have a GM foundry in town. But more importantly, we have all these small factories that make stuff for GM. Mm-hmm. And so we were suffering. When I made this song, we were, you know, really scared in our area, and a lot of things had shut down, and it was pretty frightening stuff. Well, anyhow, I had read this article by Matt Taibbi in Rolling Stone magazine.
Yes. About, he's an excellent writer.
Oh my goodness, it just blew me away. I
Yeah.
read it about I forget which bank it was now, but it's one of those big banks, and how they had just raped industry in our country, and I felt it so much.
Yeah.
And I was so emotionally moved that Blood Money just this is one of those inspired things that it just flowed. I had most of Blood Money done in a day. Including the words they poured out of it, whatever that is, what Victor Wooten might call music. I mean, music was talking that day, and
Yeah.
then I just sent it to Ked, and he added the guitar to it. Transformation, that of course comes from the CD I made, Transformations. Probably the best way to talk about that would be talk about the CD itself.
Sure.
Transformations, I was in this Pink Floyd tribute band, and a couple of the guys who were in the band with me, Tim Vargo, he was one of the guitarists at one point, and Andy Vargo, who's a drummer. We were sitting in Tim Vargo's studio, and the Pink Floyd band died. We'd quit for the last time, we decided, and we were just sitting there saying, "What do we
Quit
do
for the
now?"
last time.
Yeah, we went Carnations. Yeah, well, I won't go into
Okay.
that. But yeah, I was thinking what to do, and again, I had that inspiration. I've had all these kind of spiritual experiences that I've experienced personally, and, mm-hmm. and I, you don't very often hear people just write about the raw spiritual experiences. If they do, they tend to, you know, talk about it in religious terms, and I've never been this comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm going to write an autobiography of all my religious experiences, and the song Transformation is really the... If you listen to the CD Transformation, it kind of starts out with, well, it actually starts out with a little instrumental piece that I just threw in there because I really liked it.
Uh-huh.
But then it goes to my first religious experience, or spiritual experience, if you will, which was in my college days. Mm-hmm. And then it takes you through periods of my life, and Transformations brought me up to the present, which is how I experience God at this point, or how I experience the divine or the great being at this present. Mm-hmm. And so that's what that song's about. That whole CD, I had just, honestly, I'm not sure how many musicians worked on that. Maybe 15, 20, maybe. On Transformation itself, David Coonrod played bass, and he played bass on most of my songs, if you notice. He's just an incredible musician.
Yeah.
Incredible bass player. He's a great guy. Yeah. William O'Connell, I actually asked him on that song to do some of my organ, to redo it, because he's got that great B3 organ.
Uh-huh.
And I was using the VSTs, and then the organ is one thing, it doesn't sound as good as the real thing.
Yeah.
So he actually, you know, redid some of my organ parts for me, which is great, because one organ isn't. Kevin Peters, he's a guy, and I'm in a Trans-Siberian Orchestra, a tribute band. Kevin Peters is a guitarist in that. And Andy Vargo, again, played the drums, and Earth Songs added his flute stuff. And then Les Brook played bass on that for me.
Uh-huh.
It was from a couple of my bands.
Yeah.
My soul, love's energy surges unchained. You left me floating free of restraint. Life will never be the same. You enlighten my mind and nourish my soul. Love of unspeakable depth, sliding deeper into that place with no walls. Spirit infuses my breath, yet the journey moves on toward a much higher love. Love greater than this, where love is one. Clothed in the light of dimensionless power, its energy shaping the stars. Mind and mass with infinite love, creating, destroying all one. There are no limits, only illusions we grasp with our fears. A mysterious canvas of space and time, God's face can be seen in it all. in my mind, it's in my soul. In every face that I see, in every place the eye explores, its presence to be. It's in a tree, it's in a rock, it's in the dance of the stars. In ever-changing movement, creating this world of ours.
That's an interesting tune as well. What was the what prompted that one, David? Was it an event? Did you wake up one morning and oh, here's this tune, or did you consciously had something happen that you had maybe a small working snippet of or a lick for some time and didn't know what to do with it? What was, how did this one roll out of imagination and into reality? Or is there a difference between imagination and reality? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure with that one. I guess what I had in my mind, I know when I was writing it, was like a modern Gregorian chant. Mm-hmm. I think I called it a Rockorian chant. I thought it might be famous if that caught on, but no luck.
Well, you never know. It depends on your time frame.
Yeah, it was worth a shot. It's right after I'm dead, I'll be back.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm counting on it.
Your Gregorian chants don't usually make it for a few hundred years.
Yeah.
So, who knows about the Rockorian chants?
I think the idea behind it, behind the lyrics and the movement, was after, if you go back to that original experience with God I had in graduate school, it was not a religious experience in the sense that it was Catholic or Christian or even, you know, Hindu or something. It was just God. Mm-hmm. And so it left me
Would
with
you like to talk about that? I mean, I'm not pressing you to. You don't have to, but I'm just opening the door up for you if you care.
The experience itself?
Yes.
Okay, again, it was 30 years ago, but I was driving my car to my girlfriend's house. Mm-hmm. Country road, and in fact she's now my wife. Mm-hmm. But and then all of a sudden God was just there, and I can't explain it any better than that. You know when God is present, you know it's God. Mm-hmm. And he says, I want you to know, one, I exist, and two, what you do matters to me. And that was it. Then he's gone. And I'm like, wow, you know.
Okay, now let me ask you a couple questions, if you don't mind, mm-hmm. about just how far we've gotten so far. I want to let you finish the thought, but when you heard this, was this an actual voice as if the radio was on? Was this a voice that you heard in your mind and you realized, or is it a voice you heard through your ears or through your head? Or your heart.
Yeah, you know, even calling it a voice doesn't make sense in a sense. It was think of it more as telepathy, a mental communication. Though I knew I heard words, but not as a sound. Mm-hmm. It was just a presence. It was, I don't know how you describe something like that.
And what did it feel like to you?
Overwhelming. It was amazing. I didn't drive right off the road and hit a tree or something, which kind of spoiled the whole thing. But
yeah, that would have took the fun right out of it.
Yeah, God is a risk taker. But it was just overwhelming. It was, I knew it had been a life changing experience, but what it left me with was, okay, so what? What do I do now? Mm-hmm. It didn't tell me about what church I should go to, if any. It didn't tell me what made me important to God. I have no idea. It was just that simple. And so that leads to the where are you now? I went on just a fervent search for several years, perhaps my life if you get down to it, mm-hmm. trying to figure that out. Okay, come back and, I got all these questions. And that's what Where Are You Now is about, where do I find the answers? Where do I get the details that were missing from that experience?
Yeah, it's not really a book that you can open up and look at the table of contents and find out how to handle today, is it?
Yeah, not the way I experienced it. Yeah. People are different how they experience the spirit, and, not my way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Church of mine. glass castle.
I don't know what the actual lyrics from that are based on a poem by St. John of the Cross. Mm-hmm. He was a 17th century Spanish monk, and he's a mystical monk. When I had that at first initial experience, the first person I read that made sense to me was a guy named Thomas Merton. He's a Catholic monk who would be what you call a Christian mystic, probably very similar to, say, a Buddhist meditator in many ways. Mm-hmm. And he talked in his books a lot about St. John of the Cross, who was kind of one of the original Catholic monastic mystic people. Uh-huh. So it's mysticism where I found connections. Like, these are people who experienced God in the way I did. I could relate to what they talked about. St. John of the Cross had written several poems. He had a book of poems, and this was based on one of his poems. Dark Night of the... No. I don't think I sent that one to you. There's another one I wrote that was based on one of his poems also. But if you notice it, it talks very much, it has a similar feeling on where you're now in the sense of it's talking about God in that way that you experience, but you have no words for it, only it's, you know, more positive, more comfortable with spirit at that point.
Right.
That added again some great, I think that's the only song I sent you that had Cynthia Lugo on it. She sang a lot of the songs off that CD. Just an incredible vocalist. She can do anything from Disney to smoky jazz to just anything.
Cool.
I had other many talented musicians. Les Brook played bass on that. Andy Vargo drums again. Tim Vargo guitar or songs at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Dark Night of the Soul, is that another in the in sort of the progression of the last two songs?
Yep, that one's you know, pretty close to the Where Are You Now experience.
Yeah.
If I don't know what is, I'm excited about this. I've had this experience. I don't know what to do with it, but wow, this is great. Where Are You Now is kind of like, okay, let's hear some more details. It's been a while. Dark Night of the Soul, and again, this is a phrase from St. John of the Cross as well, mm-hmm. where well, it meant something different to him. I won't get into that, but
well, it may mean something different to everyone who hears it.
I suppose.
Yeah.
To me, Dark Night of the Soul is about that point where I just haven't found any answers for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And I'm starting to doubt what I experienced originally. And I'm feeling, once you've had that taste of the spiritual, you want it all the time, mm-hmm. or at least a lot of the time, not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't had it for a while, it feels like there's something missing. It feels like you're struggling to find meaning. And Dark Night of the Soul was that. And I was in the Pink Floyd band at the time, too, and I kind of wanted to do a Pink Floyd kind of feel to it, which I think I did.
Well, there you go. There it is.
Yeah.
Cool. Another Way of Being is one of my favorite songs. Am I feeling correctly when I listen to that song that there was something inside of you that was wanting to come out, particularly in this tune, or did I just misread that?
I think in a sense the lyrics in this, what it's describing is that same struggle between feeling the dark night of the soul, if you will, that you haven't, I haven't felt. You go through cycles through the spiritual thing where you feel very distant from the spiritual, you'd feel distant from God, and it feels painful. Mm-hmm. And that would be the first half of the song. And then the second half would be then you feel the Spirit reinvigorate you and you remember all of that. You remember the closeness with the ground being or with God, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then you feel that high again, that sense of all is right in the universe. And I think that's a theme through an awful lot of my music.
Yeah.
And it's just a pretty central kind of process for me. The song itself, now this is more of a collab than probably the others in the sense that this one actually started with Bill Bozo, Another Way of Being. He had written part two of it and had it actually written for a while, the second section of that song.
Uh-huh.
And he sent it to me. He asked for an introduction, for me to write an introduction to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as soon as I heard that song, the part he'd done already, I was just in love with it. I said, oh, man, this can be so much more.
Yeah.
So, again, I got all that energy flew through on that introduction. I wrote that introduction to it, but the words, again, just flowed, and I heard the melody. And so I quickly recorded a melody, and Bill was good with that. And then, we struggled for about, I think it was close to a year, where we got stuck. We wanted to continue with it, but we couldn't seem to get past parts one and two. And finally, I gave it another shot, and that came. And then I did a bunch of those keyboard parts and the ending. And but we added Bud Rumming to do the drumming. Did a great job. And of course, David Coonrod again on bass. He's mm-hmm. about on everything. Mm-hmm. I hate writing songs without him anymore.
Uh-huh.
So that lots of inspiration lyrically. I had originally recorded the vocals, and as so often happens when I record the vocals, I listen to them and think, who could I get to sing this instead?
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed perfect for Nigel Potter, and he was kind enough to re-record my vocals. And that's kind of how that one came together. That was a major project for all of us. It was a long-term deal.
Yeah.
But that song's at least as much Bill's as it is mine.
Yeah.
Another way of being.
been listening to The Mix Files. This has been David C. Dill. Hope you have enjoyed it. You've been listening to us on Mixstream Radio from Exposure.com, and this interview has premiered on Saturday Night Rocks with EBS and Friends. Look forward to seeing you again. Hope you enjoy.
I'm not sure, J-I-M-E, I'm not sure if I want to pronounce that Jime, Jimmy, or something else.
Well, I always call it Jime, but I made that up.
Okay.
What it really stands for is Jim Easton.
Okay.
I had gone through a period last year where, without getting into any details, a very painful period musically with some folks, and I had found myself unable to write music for a while.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's a withdrawal or what, but I just couldn't seem to. I tried several times, couldn't make anything happen, and
yeah. This
had been for months. And I don't know if you've ever talked to Jim Easton about music. He knows more about music in his finger than I do in my whole mind. he's just incredible what he knows. On every level and every kind of music. But anyhow, I was talking to Jim about it, and he was kind enough. He says, people I know, including myself, I get stuck. We try to learn something new, and then that's how we get going again. So he started kindly teaching me some jazz stuff and leading me some directions.
Mm-hmm.
Had me working, just wonderful, like a mentor.
Uh-huh.
And I started working on some jazz modes and learning stuff that I'd never had before. And Jime came out of that. It's the first time I feel I was actually able to play a jazz melody. And by that I mean that I discovered what he was trying to show me, I think, was there's a different musical, I don't know, it's another one of those things, that when I was playing the melody, I finally was able to actually let it flow through me and feel. And, of course, in that Earth Songs, I asked him to write the flute in the middle because I just loved his stuff.
Yeah.
And kind of got the idea of, using that for the middle, make it kind of meditative in the middle. Dave Coonrod, again, on bass.
Yeah.
But so Jime is my dedication to Jim Easton, my thanks for sticking with me and helping me through that period, and a great friend.
Well, I hope he listens and he gets to hear this. You just said some mighty kind words about a really fine gentleman, I believe.
Yeah.
The Mix Files, number 6.